Welcome to Awakening with Brahma Kumaris. In the last episode, we covered the idea of a soul. We're now very clear that the soul is a living being separate from the body. It has its own identity which is constant, peaceful, and beautiful. Today in this episode, we will cover how exactly the soul functions while it is in this body. And once again, here with us in our studios is Sister Jayanti, the European Director of Brahma Kumaris. Welcome, Sister Jayanti.
Om Shanti.
When I begin meditation with this idea, this truth that I am a soul separate from this being, there are many, many thoughts that come in my mind. Is this a natural?
Yes, it is absolutely natural, because this is what the soul is meant to be doing. Here in the body, it's going to perform action, and before I perform action, I think about it. I have many different thoughts that come, and then I select one particular thought and I put it through into action. So when I stop action and I just sit with myself, then yes, I discover how many different directions my thoughts are going in. And so it is absolutely natural, and the whole purpose of understanding the self is to be able to understand where my thoughts are coming from and how to redirect and channel my thoughts.
When we sit down to meditate, and you spoke of the different type of thoughts, and it is natural, but some of these thoughts are positive, quite a lot are negative. What type of different thoughts do we have?
We have thoughts of worry, of fear, of anxiety, thoughts of jealousy, thoughts of desires, thoughts of attachments, all of these things, and a thousand different more. We can categorize a few big areas in which you can fit in all these variety of thoughts, and then you can see what's going on in your own inner world, in your mind. There's the thoughts which are very negative, which can be filled with a lot of bitterness, thoughts of anger, thoughts of greed, thoughts of possessiveness, thoughts of ego. All these would be termed negative thoughts. And the problem is that human beings think today, but that's normal, that's natural. When I have negative thoughts, then of course I have negative feelings also, and my happiness is gone. A very good thermometer of the quality of thoughts is, where is my happiness? Where is my peace? The word Om Shanti, I've been using that, but what it means, Om, I am. I am that inner being. I am a soul and not this body. Shanti, peace. My original state of being is peace, Shanti. And so we've moved very far away from Om Shanti. Mostly it's a lot of peacelessness and aggression. But this tells me that these thoughts are not natural to me. Thoughts of anger and possessiveness and desires are very damaging, both to the inner being, the soul, because they take away my peace and happiness, but also they're very damaging to the body. If I have a minute of anger, my blood pressure goes up, my heart starts racing, there's more adrenaline pumped into the system. All sorts of physiological effects come as a result of anger. And 1 minute of anger means it's going to take at least 15 minutes for my body to come back to a state of stability and harmony.
It's that long for 1 minute.
And 5 minutes of anger? And the time that it takes for my body to become stable is a lot longer.
There are people who stay angry half a day.
And then you can see what is the condition of their blood pressure. And then you can see that they're the sort of people who are prone to heart attacks. I'm not saying that anger is the only cause of heart attacks. Of course, there's many, many more factors. But it's actually medically proven that when there's anger in the type A personality, now that's medical science telling us, now those are the types that are much more prone to heart attacks than other people. And so it has an effect on my inner being, it has an effect on my physical body, it has a very damaging effect on my relationships, it has an effect on the atmosphere, and so that's how negative thoughts can be. We have a simple expression we use to describe that: inside out. Whatever is going on inside is creating the state of the world outside. Most people would agree that today the world is more violent, more aggressive, more driven by money and consumerism and materialism than it was, say, 50 years ago. And that's the reality. And that's
because we have a lot more choice, Sister Jayanti. There weren't many choice in there. Or it's just a natural trend of being attracted to these.
I think the materialism is the question of choice. 50 years ago, we didn't have such a choice of what type of car to get.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. But things like anger, that's not a factor of choice. That's rather a state of being in which we've allowed our minds to become so weak that we can no longer control what's going on inside, and then it gets expressed outside. You know, the whole story of my thoughts, my feelings, my attitude, my perception, my actions, my behavior, and that's then the world that I create around me. And we're seeing a direct result of that.
So if I think negatively of someone, I'm not just thinking internally, I will see them in a negative way. My attitude towards them, even before they say a word to me, would be negative. And my behavior follows next. And my behavior, and obviously their reaction.
And then I'll say, but you see, I told you they were like that.
But exactly, true.
It was me that led to them behaving in that particular way.
I have to be that responsible for my own thoughts.
You've used a very important word, responsibility.
Mm.
It's like we blame and we complain.
Yeah.
And we forget that I am responsible for what it is, not only what I do. I think most people would agree I'm responsible for my own actions and my own life. But the starting point of responsibility is inside. I, the soul, am responsible for the type of thoughts that I create. I am responsible for the type of feelings that I have. I am responsible for the attitude that I've created within myself. People don't understand that. And so they think that, well, you made me angry.
Feel like this. You created this attitude in my life.
That's right. But it's very interesting. When I point a finger at you, look again. There's three fingers pointing at me. And so I'm blaming you, but in fact, I am the one that's responsible. And so meditation's making us aware of all of this. It's making me realize that if I have a negative thought, I have given myself permission to have negative thoughts, and I don't need to.
But Sister Jayanti, I must, sometime you may guard yourself, because now we understand about thoughts. We say, today I'm not going to think negative about that person, and people are negative towards you because they are negative.
Okay, here's a scenario. Here's somebody who's approaching me with negativity.
Yeah.
And I allow myself to get negative also. What's going to be the result? It's going to be negativity, matching negativity, and there's going to be an explosion. And yes, the other person is negative. I cannot be responsible to change the other person.
So I don't need to change their negativity. I change my own into a positive state.
If I wait for them to change, how long am I going to wait for?
A lifetime, maybe.
Maybe beyond. And maybe they still won't have changed.
So there are people who live with people who are negative, but they don't, although they can feel their negativity, they have a choice to come out of it.
What I can do is to change myself. That's totally up to me. I can make a conscious decision to change myself this minute now. And when I do this and I say, I'm not going to react in a negative way, I'm going to respond with peace, maybe I don't love them, maybe I don't even respect them yet, maybe that's going to come later. But I don't want to allow anger to come within me, because it's so damaging for my mind and my body. And of course what happens is that once you've allowed anger to be expressed towards one individual, it doesn't stay like that. It's now created a pattern of behavior within myself. And so, say for example, at work, one of my colleagues has done something which is really stupid, really stupid. And so I've got angry with them, or they've been negative and I've reacted. I come home, now my family knows nothing about what happened, and they're not involved with what was happening. No. They're expecting me to come home filled with joy and love, and they want to spend a good evening with me. And I come in and I'm seething inside, because my anger hasn't left me, it's still staying with me.
Yeah.
And I open the door and my children jump at me with love, and I say, stop it, I want to sit down. And they get scared. What's going on? They came to me with love, but my reaction wasn't against them. My reaction is still that which I'm carrying from before, but now I've damaged a relationship which was full of love, and now they're scared. Instead of love, now they're afraid of me, and next time they'll hesitate. They won't jump at me with love and come and hug me. They'll say, well, I'm not quite sure what sort of mood they're in. And so I carry within myself whatever it is I've done. And so it's very important to understand that my thoughts not only create actions, but my thoughts create feelings, and they create an imprint, and I'm creating a pattern of behavior that is quite independent to the person who triggered it and the situation that occurred. And so I now am carrying the seed of anger within myself, and it's going to explode in other things also.
So this imprint, can I say that now I am habituated to getting angry?
That's exactly what happens. I allow anger to come once, and next time
I need to be angry.
I'm going to do the same.
Yeah.
Again, next time, the fuse is becoming shorter and shorter and shorter.
I'm sure negative has a positive. And after that?
Definitely. Well, in fact, there's a sequence we can go through. There's a very strong negative thoughts, and as you correctly said, it's a very negative world that we're living in today. That's the general state of the world. But if I start checking my own self and deciding I want to change, even before I get to the positive thoughts, there's a few things that happen in between. I get into the pattern of waste thoughts. Now, it's somebody else's responsibility, and it's really nothing to do with me, but my mind is racing. Why did they do this? They shouldn't have done this. They should have done that. They should have done the other. Or things about the past.
I should have said yes. I could have gone for it. So that's waste.
Absolutely, because the situation has gone by and I can't change it. I can learn from it for the future, but I can't change what has happened. And so it's a waste of my time, a waste of my energy, and it's a waste of present opportunity.
But sometimes it's very important to do a kind of post-mortem. Because if you are a baker and you, every time you try to bake a cake and the cake doesn't rise, and you need to know and do a post-mortem why it didn't rise. So am I going into waste by doing this type of post-mortem? I can only improvise. If I don't look back, I can't.
There's a process of learning, and learning is very much part of the life of the soul. If I'm not learning, then I might as well be dead.
Yeah.
But the process of learning and the process of growing is part of the spiritual development of the human being. And so I've done something and it didn't work out. Now let me find out, what is it that I did that wasn't quite right? Now that applies to cakes. It also applies to driving. It also applies to relationships. It also applies to opportunities. Here was a wonderful opportunity, and at that moment, why did I say no? Was it my weakness? Was it my doubts? Was it my inferiority complex? What was it? And so yes, definitely, that process of looking at the past in order to learn from it is very important. So let me do that.
So we should not deny the past. We should not live in the past. We should not
hold on
to the past.
Correct.
We learn from it. We take the essence of it and
move on. You know, if you want to walk forward,
yeah.
If my foot is stuck to the ground,
I can't
move forward. It's only when I lift my foot up from the back, then it's going to take a stride forward. Then the other foot is going to move forward. It's human biology. It's very simple nature. But we don't do that with the mind. My foot is stuck, and I'm not learning and moving forward. When you finish one task and you're waiting for the next client, the customer, the patient, whatever it may be, or as a student for the next lesson, or the teacher before the next lesson, there were always these little pauses in between in which you had a moment to reflect on what had happened, and you had a moment to reflect on what you were going to do. Today, we don't do that. While we're eating together, the television is on. While we're sitting together, I'm listening to my phone. Or, even worse, we're in the meeting and people are scrolling their BlackBerries. That happens so often. And you know that they can't listen to you and read their BlackBerry at the same time. They're doing the one or the other.
Yeah.
And so what are they doing? Are they not interested? And so that time for processing has gone in multitasking.
So it's just the stolen moments you have where you can reevaluate your thoughts, change it from negative to positive, or from waste into something useful.
One is stolen moments, but the other is conscious moments.
Ah, so that's a big difference. If I wait for stolen moments, I may not get any.
No.
But if I
create those opportunities.
Create those opportunities.
So I've finished with one thing. I've left my office. I'm now home. Now, let me give my attention and my focus here. Let me live in the moment. Let me be in the present and not let me live in the past. Even the past of 2 hours ago and what happened in the office.
Give me an example of taking opportunities of these moments. When you park your car in the driveway, I can take that moment?
Park your car and just wait for a moment before you get out of your car.
Traffic light?
Traffic light is a great example.
You don't get frustrated even though the evening's traffic is bad at that time. In fact, you use that time to reflect.
Brilliant, absolutely. Mm. The other time is when you're hanging on the phone waiting for someone to come on the line, and we get upset and frustrated at that moment. You know, how long are they taking? Why are they taking so long? All these things. It's okay. It's giving me space. It's giving me a moment to connect with myself.
And someone's late for their appointment?
Even better. It's giving me extra time that I hadn't actually realized I was going to get. It's luxury. Or I'm walking from one place to another place, you know, whether you're in a hospital or a university or many offices today, there's long corridors that you have to walk through, and people think it's such a waste of time, you have to go from here to there. It's not a waste of time, it's a time to process. And if I'm processing, I'm learning, and I'm dropping the negativity, and I'm dropping the waste, and I'm beginning to understand how to let go of the weak and create that which is positive. And so this is the progression from negative to waste to weak. How many weak thoughts do I have about myself? I can't do this, it's not possible, I won't be able to manage, I need help.
So every waste thought that you have about you weakens yourself, weakens, creates other weaker thoughts.
It's a reality. You know, as soon as I have the thought, I can't do this, there's a paralysis that sets in. And even though I'm absolutely capable, and even if I've had no experience of something, if I'm open and I'm willing to learn, and I say, well, let me try it, and I can only learn from it.
Yeah. So, Sister Jayanti, when the soul is in the body and the soul begins to learn to meditate, the soul is processing all these type of thoughts, the positive thoughts, the negative thoughts, the waste thoughts, it now begins to understand. What would be the soul saying to itself?
I want to talk about two separate things. One is these moments in between in which I can turn my mind around and look at things in a positive way by going inside and asking myself, what is the opportunity here? What is the lesson to be learned here? What is the good that I see in this situation? But the other is the training for this. And the training for this doesn't happen by moments here and there. The training for this is if I begin the day giving myself specific time. And then, because I've trained myself to do something, it'll stay with me through the day, and it's more likely that my mind will have the right type of thinking. Otherwise, I can't manage it.
And this training in the morning, how long for? How do you train the mind to have that reflection? How long should it be?
Let it be starting with 10 minutes. Just 10 minutes in which I create thoughts about who I am. And there's a difference between thinking, I have a soul. Right? No. I don't have a soul.
I am a soul.
I have a body. My hands, my feet, these are mine. But who's speaking? It's I, the soul, that is speaking. And so 10 minutes in which I sit and I generate this awareness and I come to this feeling and this experience, I am that being of light. I am a soul. Let me pause. Let me hold that thought and come to that feeling and that experience. And then next step would be to feel what is there within I, the soul. And that's when I discover the treasures which were originally mine that I'd forgotten about. The original qualities of truth, of peace, of love, of joy. And so to train my mind to focus in this way means I'm connecting with those qualities which belong to me, which are natural to me. And then through the day, in those moments, instead of thinking why, how, if, but, I'm so.
And go back to what I trained for in the morning.
That's right.
That would be directing my mind.
Yeah. So meditation is working on my thoughts, but also I discovered that my thoughts are coming from deep down inside myself. The experiences that I have are registered within me, and they've created these patterns. And meditation helps me to change the quality of that pattern, so that on the one level I'm changing the quality of my thoughts, but that's not really enough. I also have to change the pattern that's there held within me, and that involves my actions. I can say I'm a peaceful soul, but if then I allow anger to come out, then the pattern within me that's reinforced is of anger. And so the thought that's going to come automatically is an angry thought. And then to tell myself I'm a peaceful soul, it's a little bit like a parrot. It's a parrot repeating a phrase. It's not a reality. And so what I have to do is to, yes, change the quality of my thoughts, but start putting those thoughts through into action. And as the quality of my actions changes, so the imprints of behavior within myself begin to change. And then, in a very natural way, my thoughts through the day, not just in meditation, but through the day, they're also going to be more likely to be peaceful.
That sounds all so beautiful. Let's see how the soul functions. If you could help us with some experiment on meditation.
Let's try that. Sitting comfortably, letting the body be quiet. I go inwards and I see many thoughts going here and there and everywhere, and I just keep watching and simply watching my thoughts slows down the speed so that my thoughts beginning to move in one direction, and out of all my variety of thoughts I choose to focus on the thought of peace. Peace is in my thoughts, but it filters deeper. Peace becomes a feeling. At this moment, I feel peaceful. And I go deeper, and I realize that peace is my original state of being. Peace is who I am. Om Shanti.
It was better this time because I felt I could control my thoughts when it wander and go back to the words that you were speaking and go back to that feeling that I can consciously pick up to be peaceful. So that was really good.
Just keep practicing and it'll happen.
Thank you. Shanti Om. I'm a peaceful soul. Om Shanti Om. I'm a peaceful soul.